The Trump regime, guided by the Musk mantra of moving fast and breaking things, has dismantled many of the government programs, laws, and agencies that protect vulnerable groups as well as the environment. Musk's favorite prop in showcasing his Trump-anointed powers is the huge buzzsaw he likes to wave in the air. This menacing image takes on a quite literal significance as their sights are set on hacking and bulldozing their way through forests on federal lands, among other moves against the environment. So, Mike, can you sum up or give us a bird's eye view of what the Trump regime is doing on the environmental front and where you see legal resistance to their strategy of dismantling every product of political progress, including around environmental protection?
Well, Trump is actually acting as the executive committee for the fossil fuel companies. The U.S. leads the world now, forget Saudi Arabia, in oil and gas production, exports, and expansion. And fossil fuel production and combustion are the core drivers of a global climate emergency. And they are now in power, and they've prepared for power, unlike the last time around with Trump. They are very ready. Trump has issued executive orders called the immediate resurgence of American energy, immediate direction for logging, and as you said, eviscerated or eliminated federal programs, federal language removal, any language referring to climate change, which is an innocuous term to begin with, has been removed from federal agencies. Knowledge removal, different bodies of knowledge collected by the NOAA about weather around the world have been eliminated. It's been a very systematic approach.
Yeah, even in terms of some of the language you were referencing around the one of these White House papers, this one was unleashing American energy like it's a pit bull. And the aim is to unleash America's affordable and reliable energy and natural resources. There's nothing about renewable energy. It's all about natural resources. Forest land, water that are seen as assets to boost US military security and deliver what they call peace through strength. So there's a worldview behind this, a kind of new manifest destiny or revival of manifest destiny that is sending shudders around the world, actually. So how is this the assault on environmental protections, environmental law, different from these other fronts around immigration, education, you name a progressive development in the modern era, and they're attempting to get rid of it and get rid of the history of it.
That's right. That's exactly what they're trying to do. What's happened is in all these areas, well, some move more quickly than others. For example, immigration law is entirely within the executive branch. So that means that Trump can start right away firing immigration judges and replacing immigration attorneys and building a wall to keep people out. He can do a host of things right off the bat. He can do the same thing with tariffs. He's got lots of authority to act immediately in this area. But the environmental stuff is a different matter because it's being resisted. It's being resisted in courts all over the country. We've talked about his assault on environmental protections within several federal agencies, but he's also unleashed his favorite word, Attorney General Pam Bondi, to identify and stop the enforcement of state laws that address climate change and any environmental initiative.
Now, there's a different philosophy around states' rights operating here, right? I mean,
That's right.
the right wing has been all very big on states' rights throughout history. Of course, the South and fighting desegregating schools is one of the classic examples. Can they just kind of pick and choose around these things, or is there legal maneuvering involved.
Well, it's Trump's classic negotiation technique, which is to throw everything in the world up against the wall and see what sticks. I mean, he said, quote, "These state laws and policies are fundamentally irreconcilable with my administration's objective to unleash America's energy." He wrote, "They should not stand." Well, he doesn't have a thing to say about state laws. State laws have been powerful checks on environmental abuses. Just last month in the state of Washington, an initiative that encouraged natural gas use in the heating of homes was rejected by a judge who said the initiative here, which was the only one of the four that were on the ballot last November, violates the Single Subject Act and should not have been on the ballot in the form that it
And it
was.
was a confusing and bad ballot measure, right?
Right. So the law governing initiatives and what language can be and can't be on them is particularly a state law concern. So this is a state law matter all the way. Trump's blustering can have no effect on this at all.
But
And
can't he do, what has been happening with universities around the country and finally, Harvard that had been not so praiseworthy around dealing with the Trump administration, finally resisted and refused to comply. But the penalties are very severe, including in, with state schools like Portland State University, and their administrators are shuddering in fear, and some of it's lack of courage, but some of it is has to do with the consequences of withdrawing federal funds. Is there anything similar to that around punishing states that refuse to c comply with their right-wing, reactionary programs?
well, sure, there are means and ways of punishing states available to the federal government, and Trump is using them against California and Oregon and Washington, and we can expect much more of that in the future.
What would be an example of that?
Withholding money, it's all about money. Like the Inflation Reduction Act included lots of money to set up programs of developing environmentally friendly neighborhoods, neighborhood solar energy panels and
And
stuff.
supporting low-income communities along these lines.
Yeah, along environmental lines. Well, he has tried to gut all funding of anything within the Inflation Reduction Act, which was actually quite a bit that had to do with the environment. But basically, states or state litigation and state laws are beyond his reach. So that's why there have been intense litigation, which we've talked about before, efforts by oil companies, fossil fuel companies, to move litigation out of state courts and over to federal courts and make the issue a federal issue. Because their real power lies in their dominance of Washington, D.C., and both the legislature and the executive branch of government. And Trump is unable right now to reach that particular part of our judicial system.
Well, can you talk some about pressures on judges? Because that's also been, those have been center stage dramas. The most recent one, the judge elected in Wisconsin, even though Musk very actively tried to buy her opponent's election, and Wisconsin voters resoundingly defeated him, that campaign. That was quite heartening. But where else do you see pressures on judges and how this plays out, where many are responsive, like anybody in a job, to the pressures coming down on them.
Well, that is the area that concerns me the most about Trump and his regime. It's the one area that really is very strong indication of a fascist tendency. And I use that word advisedly because what he's saying is that district court judges don't really matter. The only court that really matters is Supreme Court, which has my friends on it. He's violating the principle that has hitherto been followed by people whose values were exactly the same as those presently in power, like 20 or 30 years ago. But if they lost a lawsuit, they lost the lawsuit, and that was that. Now, Trump doesn't think a loss is really a loss. He doesn't think judges need to be followed. So he's really put heat on judges who have done things like restrict his action in the areas where he's first begun acting, namely immigration law.
Some of his name calling them scumbags and low IQ. I mean, talk about projection all over the place. But it's more than name calling. There are s sticks and stones being thrown.
Of course, if he overplays his hand, which he's definitely done with tariffs, and which he may provoke the Supreme Court into checking him, at least in some ways. Of course, judges are not, as you said, immune to public pressure. If there are demonstrations in the streets, if there is general condemnation, like in the media and the press, all of that bolsters judges who are inclined to do the right thing. And environmental questions are more slowly addressed.
That has an upside and a downside to it. People become very impatient with the legal system in general and how slowly things move.
Yeah, it's much more slow. And I think the litigation, there is litigation, by the way, there is litigation on all these fronts. The executive branch of government is being sued in many states, in many federal courts, over many of the actions that we talked about that Trump has done. And these will be resolved eventually. There'll probably be evidentiary hearings eventually, but not now. But what happens eventually will be shaped by what's happening now. Whether Trump's regime is seen as just a grifter trying to do the same sort of pressure techniques he's used all his life of not paying off his subcontractors, of the kind of deceptions and muscling that he's always done. If that works, well, that's going to intimidate future judges and jurors who are deciding these environmental cases. If it doesn't work, if his tariffs blow up in his face, if they make ordinary people have to pay much more money for the goods that they're now getting at a cheap price, and if the big money interests see the dollar continue to decline, if there are serious feedback from his base constituency, from the big money that supports him, from the media interests which he compulsively follows, whether he says respectful things about them or not, if there's pushback on all these fronts, that's going to make it easier for environmental lawsuits to prevail.
I think in seeking silver linings in a very dark sky, the country's going through a massive civics lesson on a very large scale. I mean, all of these agencies that work every day and do the difficult behind the scenes work around Social Security or any of the environmental issues that require scientists to study what's happening with the soil or the species that are vulnerable or tracking community effects of the climate emergency. All of the people who do this work who are being just dismissed and devalued, and the work of so many people being devalued, even air traffic controllers. I mean, it's so blatantly regressive in the way they're operating and running this country. You have to do a lot of fancy mental work to have it make sense as far as anything humane or rational or in the interest of the well-being of everyday people. So if this is more apparent, of course, then it depends on what people do about it. And that's why mass mobilization, training, and strategies of resistance are so important right now. And speaking of that, Earth Day is tomorrow. And there are a lot of national groups that are organizing. Green groups organizing all out on Earth Day protests against Trump's authoritarianism and dismantling of critical environmental safeguards. But there's also a much longer horizon of protests we have to be thinking about the importance of that and sustained and creative protesting, given how vulnerable a lot of these legal. The lawyers and judges are in these settings, which is an important front of resistance.
Well, yeah, their vulnerabilities are being exposed by Trump. And the truth is, the judiciary, designed to be separate and apart from the political process, is also influenced by public opinion and by the political process, if not directly, then indirectly. So all the kind of activity you're describing not only can influence the executive branch of government immediately, but can determine who gets elected to office and will have an influence on judges. And judges are going to be called upon to do things that they're not used to doing, to really condemning executive orders that they've been used to tolerating. But we live in completely different times. The whole notion of science, for example, is being redefined by Trump, who's getting rid of grants by the National Institute of Health on the basis that they're politically designed. It's a resurrection of like the Soviet Union's Lysenko in 1930s and 40s, Stalin's favorite scientist, who was convinced that the evolutionary process would allow things that you've learned to be passed on to your children. And this idea was something supported so ferociously that it led to Russian science being dismantled and Russian scientists being killed, who insisted or thought in some way that the evolution didn't work like that. So now we've got scientific health studies being cut off because the people who are applying them, or the some sort of language within it, would imply that the program of ultimate white male supremacy is not being followed here. And as a result, scientists are leaving. Not only are Chinese-trained scientists returning to China, but people are going to Canada and Europe. Scientists are seriously reconsidering their career because of the lack of funding and the distortion of what they're trying to do. So we need to be louder and more vigilant and more energetic in opposing this than we've ever been before. Because there are possible good things that will result from the end of the quote rules-based international order with the United States at its center, which has prevailed in the world since 1945.
Trump may very well be the symptom of its bloated status and ultimate decline, not as healthy as he claims. The country's not going to be great again as he promises, right?
Right, man.
Okay. Well, Mike, we'll have to continue to follow not only the horror show we're all living, but and that has deep and long roots, this being the current and most extreme manifestation, but the potential and ongoing resistances to it. This is Jan Hocken talking today with Mike Snedeker on The Left and the Law about Trump and assaults on the environment.